Welcome to the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, which only means that tomorrow it has to get longer. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and I'm connecting the dots between the emotional, the spiritual, the psychological, the physical, and everything in between. This is episode number 498 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
I don't know if it's welcome or not, huh? I guess it depends where you're at. Hey! Sorry about that. Welcome to winter. Today is the first day of winter. It has arrived here in the northern hemisphere. We call it the winter solstice. Yes, the shortest day of the year. Yes, today, count the hours if you're above the equator. I mean, there are very few hours that the sun is shining, compare relatively speaking, to the summer solstice. Right? Summer solstice comes in June. 6 months from now, we will see the longest day of the year. But today is the winter solstice, and I'm going to be sharing with you some incredible stuff. You're not going to believe this stuff. No, not about the planets rotating, not about science. It's actually about our Christianity, our Christian beliefs, our Christmas beliefs, and how they fit in. You're going to love it. It's a very, very special edition of The Next Step, and that's coming up in our second portion of today's show. But with winter here in Pasadena, where I'm recording from, comes all kinds of stuff. And I just had to share this with you because it hit me. This morning, as I was driving back, I had an early meeting over at the diocese, and then driving back into Pasadena to do the recording, and we got all held up in traffic. And there is a phenomenon that takes place on January 1st. It's called the Rose Bowl Parade. Now, we have the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, where they play football. And every January 1st, there is this parade that goes down, I think, 5 or 6 miles down Colorado Boulevard. And it's we're very lucky because it ends up right on our street. And literally, we just walk a few feet away, and there it is. There's the entire parade. It comes by, and it finishes right up the street from us. So for a few days afterwards, we've got tons of people that are coming by just looking at the floats. But I do have to tell you that it's a funny story that happened to me when first moved to Pasadena. Actually, every year, people start crowding in at the tunes of, I think, a tune of 1 million people come into Pasadena to view the Rose Bowl Parade. I think that's the figure. About 1 million people come into town. And when we first moved here, we moved, it was December 19th, we moved to Pasadena from San Jose. And it was, a couple days before the winter solstice. And we were told that this is a nice little neighborhood that we're in. It's sort of a quiet little place. Well, we got in here December 19th, and a couple days later, we celebrated our first Christmas over here, and the next morning, we woke up to find people camped out on our front lawn. And I'm going, what's going on here? Not only camped out, I mean, I'm talking about literal camped out, where they had bonfires going, and they were roasting hot dogs and marshmallows, and people sleeping on the floors, people on the streets. I go, okay, what neighborhood do we move into? I'll never forget that. That was the first year that we had moved here. And then we found out, well, we are on the Rose Parade route. And for several years, we used to enjoy going out at night and visiting with the people that were out there on the streets and, you know, a lot of family activity. There was a lot of family. Then 9/11 happened. And the year after that, after 9/11, things changed. And Pasadena put out a regulation that only one night you could spend out on the street, and that was New Year's Eve. So up until then, we had this really different kind of idea of what how to spend the New Year that week before New Year's. But now it's gotten down to a one-day event. People come in about December 31st, and they camp out that night on the streets. And then January 1st, of course, the parade comes by. And after that, for a couple days, the floats are available for viewing. Now, these floats are really incredibly beautiful. You've got to see them to understand what I'm talking about. Words don't do justice for them. They are made up of all natural materials. In other words, not only roses, but all kinds of flowers, all kinds of vegetation. So you will see, like, if they need a brown tone in these floats, it's not paint on there. They have found some dried leaves, for instance, or they will find some herbs that have unique colors to them. And all of these floats are all naturally made. And it's just a wonder of what the human imagination could do. Just about 2 or 3 years ago, they started in with the Armenian float. They have an Armenian float that goes by. And I was really happy about this because as we were growing up, we'd always watch the Rose Parade on TV. Little did we know that we'd end up here in Pasadena. And my mom used to always say, wouldn't it be great if we had an Armenian float? And people could see what Armenians were all about. You know, they've got all kinds of floats that demonstrate the beauty of culture, the beauty of the arts. Wouldn't it be beautiful to have something like that? And her dream came true a few years ago when a group of nationals got together and said, hey, let's put together an Armenian float. So I always look forward to that and to seeing what new designs will come up. I believe this will be the third or fourth year that the Armenian float appears in the parade. But I had to tell you this because it is a time of preparation right now. As I got off the freeway today, they are building these structures all around us in Pasadena to accommodate the floats and the Rose Parade. So there are these high towers made out of steel. There's a lot of fencing that is going up, grandstands so that people can sit and watch. And, not on our front lawn. Our front lawn becomes the watching area. It's actually a few houses down. But anyway, there is a time and a season for preparedness, and that's what we're in. That's what the season of Advent is, right? It's a preparedness for Christmas. And as these things come about, I always think to myself, like, look at the time clock of nature. We mimic the time clock of nature. We put together our structures. We put together our calendars to prepare us for certain events, whether it's the Lenten calendar for Easter or the Advent calendar in preparation for Christmas, or the high-rises, the bleachers, the steel fencing in preparation for the floats. There is a time for preparation, and it's important. It's an important time because it sends us signals, and those signals are what we're going to talk about today. Those signals, just as today is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. What does it signal? It signals that, well, guess what? If today's the shortest, what does that mean about tomorrow? It means tomorrow's going to be a little bit longer, and the day after is going to be a little bit longer. Until we get up to June 21st, when, because of the tilt of the axis, the way we are, the way we travel around the sun, we reach the longest day of the year. So I don't know exactly how many hours of sunlight we had. Let's see, I did my walk this morning. I would say about, sun came up about 7 o'clock, and it'll go down about 5 o'clock here in the Los Angeles area. So we got about 10 hours of sunlight today. And I think the farther north you go, you get less and less. So obviously, as opposed to that daylight time, there's 14 hours of nighttime, right? If I have 10 hours of daytime, I have 14 hours of nighttime. And in the next 6 months, that's going to change so that by June 21st, it'll be just the opposite. I'll have 14 hours of sunshine during the day, 10 hours of nighttime. Now, all of this is part of the wonders of nature, isn't it, right? I mean, we explain it, but how do you figure it out? How do you know that this is happening? Well, science has taken its view, has taken its opportunity to explain this. And through the years, we have matured. We have evolved. We have a different understanding. Whereas we used to believe that all the stars and even the sun would revolve around us as a geocentric universe. In other words, our planet was the center of the universe. We understand that all things are in motion, right? We are going around a star, which is called the sun. And not only are we going around it, we're kind of a tilted axis too. Not only that, we have the moon that's traveling around us. And we start learning all these kind of different motions. And as we start learning, we develop different ideas. And it plays into the wonder, into the mystery of how these things work. Okay, do I have you there? There is a mystery involved in the universe. I mean, even today, when you look at the universe and we come up with all kinds of theories that 13 billion years ago, a big bang happened. Tell me, anybody who thinks about that will automatically think about, well, what was there before that? How did that big bang happen? What was there? Who turned on the switch to this whole thing? Okay. And I've heard Hawking's, there's a brief history of time, and I've heard his discussion, I've read his book, you know, he talks about the incredible enormity of the density of that first moment, that first split second when everything exploded. Well, they, you know, that's great, but people can't explain who turned on the switch. And so we wonder, and maybe there will come a time when we can explain who turned on the switch. In other words, you may have some definite examples of how that could have happened. And they're getting close to that. But for right now, there's many of us who will be fine to say that there is a prime mover. There is a God who flipped the switch. And we are okay to call it God. We're okay to call it God. Not to fit into anyone's description of what God is, but to understand that the definition of God is somebody who is the prime mover, somebody who flips the switch, the creator. You understand the difference? It's not that we're understanding the creator in terms of what people have told us that God is, but because it is a creator, we call it God. And we understand different things when we refer to it as a creator, when we refer to God as Father, as Jesus told us, refer to him as Father. We understand God differently when we understand the idea of the Holy Spirit moving us. We understand God differently when we see the examples that Jesus Christ gave us. And all of these fit into our understanding, but never does the understanding become complete. Otherwise, it cannot be known as God. Are you with me on this? I hope you are, because we're going to go to some neat places right now. In a few moments, when we start looking at the winter solstice, today is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. It gets us to start wondering about the motions that are in play. We also think about the preparedness of getting things ready. Just as around me, there's construction going on, people come in and roasting their hot dogs and getting ready for a parade, there is a procedure that you follow in preparation for a big event. So too, whether it's the Lenten season for Easter or the Advent season, or just in your personal life, think about the preparedness you have just for a day. The day you're starting off, right? You get up out of bed and you prepare for that day. You may shave, you may shower, you may sprinkle some water in your eyes, you may just like decide to take a dry towel to your head. Don't do this, I'm just saying you may do this, okay? you get what I'm saying, right? There's a procedure, there's a preparedness to go through your day. There is also a preparedness for life. And that's part of the discipline of life, of what you go through. Now, we're going to be talking about that today, right after the song of the day. Today, I've picked out a really beautiful song. It actually comes to us off of an album that I wanted to share with you last week. By the way, thank you for all of the wonderful comments I got. It was a very popular podcast, maybe because I talked so little. Don't. I hope that's not the reason, but I hope it was because you liked the picks I had. And certainly from your response, I know you all enjoyed the pick of music that I had for the Christmas Carol edition. Today I'm going to add one more to it, one of my favorites. He passed away a couple years ago, John Bilezikchian. He had an album called Noel, and this is a selection off of the Noel album. It's a song that we've all heard, The Green Sleeves, or What Child Is This? The unmistakable artistry of John Bilezikchian on oud. And it's off of an album called Merry Christmas. Yes, I know I mentioned that it was off an album called Noel. I don't know why. I somehow remember that. But while we were playing it, Ken dug up the site. Yes, and you could hear the pops and hisses. That is off of one of my LPs, yes, digitized for today's show. Thank you, Ken, for doing that. Beautiful selections, and we will have a link on today's show notes. Check out all of John Bilezikchian's beautiful music. The album today is called Merry Christmas. It's a selection of songs for the Christmas season, but some of his other stuff, it's really, truly what we're talking about today, the wonder. You know, just like if you've ever gazed up at the stars and just wondered, when he plays, it takes your mind to different places. And certainly this one too, just on the beautiful oud, his artistry reflects the season. What child is this? Something out of the ordinary. Something that touches us. Something that changes the way we look at life, right? What child is this? What music is this? What stars are these? The ability to wonder and take your mind to different places. Anyway, check out today's show notes. There'll be a link on there.
Now is the solstice of the year. When there is the clan song that you hear, yeah. Seven days move seven times.
Today is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere. I'd like to take you back a little bit, when this feast was really celebrated in the true sense, because it was an opportunity to celebrate life. Imagine, if you will, going back. Yeah, let's go back. Yeah, thank you. Perfect. Okay, we are going back in time to a time when we didn't understand that, you know, things changed. Things had motions. We knew that at night that sun would go away. It wasn't because we were traveling, but the sun was traveling from one side of the sky to the other side. It would go away, and out would come out these things that looked like little points out there, little points of light. And some of the ancient philosophers, in fact, thought that we lived inside of a dome, a black dome, and there were like these little holes in the dome that allowed some of the light from the outside of the dome to come in. Yeah, that's what the stars were. That there was small little pinholes from which light would come through. And slowly as we evolved as people, slowly as we started investigating and looking at things, we started learning and defining. But imagine at that time, you figured out that, well, you and your home and your family all get cold during a certain time of the year. And that time of the year, you realize that you have less sunlight than you do at other times. And no matter what primitive form of measurement of time, you realize that days were getting shorter and shorter and shorter. It could be very disheartening, couldn't it? Like, what's next? We have 10 hours of light. Will it be 9 hours of light? Will it be 2 hours of light? And will we be confined to darkness forever? Imagine, yeah, you just follow the pattern, right? Until December 21st, till the winter solstice, the days get shorter and shorter and shorter. So I'm imagining a time before we understood all of these motions or calendars or anything, you know that days were getting shorter and shorter and colder and colder. What would happen? What would happen if we didn't have that sun that gave us light? Ah, but all of a sudden, a phenomena, days didn't continue to get shorter. All of a sudden, days got longer. Days started getting so long that we were starting to enjoy more warmth. And we called this season of warmth summer. Yeah, we were enjoying warmth. Because we saw the sun more. Now we're making the connections that sun has something to do with the warmth that we feel. Just like outside, we were remembering that during the winter, the less sun we had something to do with the coldness that we were feeling. And through a period of time, whether it's 100 years, 1,000 years, however long it took, people started understanding their environment. And most probably for a variety of reasons. People were documenting. They started writing. They started telling the oral tradition, telling that, hey, we remember that there was a cold time and now we've gotten warmer and we're getting warmer and warmer. But what? Wait, we're going back to a cold time. But don't fret, because a couple days later, it will start warming up again. The days will start getting longer, and people started measuring it, recording it, and documenting it to the point that people started understanding that there are cycles. Now, imagine if you were living at that time and days got cold. What would the natural event of celebration be? The day that things started getting warmer. This is what the winter solstice was all about. And celebrating the winter solstice was a celebration of hope. That's all it is. It's a celebration that, yeah, tomorrow's going to be even longer than today. I had 10 hours of light today, but tomorrow I'm going to have 10 hours and 10 minutes. And in a few days, I'm going to have 10 hours and 30 minutes. And guess what? In a few months, I'm going to have 12 hours of sunlight, 12 hours of nighttime. And so astronomers, people started documenting all of these things, and the celebration by the people would be on a very personal level. Days got warmer. We wouldn't need to make the fires in the backyard anymore. We'd be able to go out there and celebrate and enjoy the warmth around us. It was a day of hope. A day that, okay, the days have gotten so short that after this, all that could happen is the days can get longer. That's the celebration that Christmas took over. That's how simple it is. When we start making up things about, like, Jesus was born on December 25th, January 6th, or whatever, these are just simple ways for us to explain the beauty and the wonder of God's creation and God's love for us. Because what did Jesus do for us? Jesus came and gave us that warmer life. Jesus was the Son, S-O-N, of God, not the S-U-N, Son. And we celebrated the Son of God coming to us, bringing us hope. Because much like the world around us, things had gotten dismal. Every day, the days are getting shorter and shorter. You lose hope. What happens if the days get so short and one day the sun just blocks out? We're scared of that. I'd be scared of that. I know you would be too. Somebody tells you that, hey, every day it's getting a little bit shorter and shorter that you're enjoying the sun. Your head goes to places that you wouldn't ordinarily go. You say, well, wait a minute. Days are getting shorter. What if they get so short that all I see is nighttime? Darkness. And I don't have a cell phone that gives out light, so I can't see underneath the covers. No, it's going to be pitch black. It's going to be complete darkness. But wait a minute. We're noticing that the days are getting longer. There's hope for tomorrow. There's hope that tomorrow we're going to have warmth. Tomorrow we're going to have sunlight. More than we have today. Now, look at the human condition. Look at the wars we fight. Look at the reasons for not having hope in tomorrow. Go back several centuries. Go back a couple millennia. And look at the conditions of the world. Of course, you know where I'm going with this. You don't need to look that far away. You could look at the world today. But bear with me right now, okay? 2,000 years ago. The prophets had come, we had killed them, laws were given, but the laws were broken, and then comes our hope, comes the Son of God. And now we have a different opportunity. We are no longer restricted under sin. We are no longer tied down to the darkness, but we have now the light of the world. We don't have to fear the darkness. Why? Because we have one who is called the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who believes in me shall not live in darkness. Now make those words true in your heart to understand what it means. Darkness is a point that you don't want to be in darkness, right? So what would be the opposite of something you don't want? Something you do want. And that is the light. That's what came to us on Christmas. That's what came to us at the Nativity. And so the celebration of Christmas is really that. It's the celebration of hope. That despite all the darkness, we have an opportunity to have light. Now, isn't that a point of celebration? And yes, from the ancient pagan times, they took over these feasts. The pagans would be out there and they'd be celebrating and worshiping the sun because there were new days. And Constantine, in his wisdom as the king, in part of the program of bringing Christianity into the empire, he changes the date of Christmas, of the day when Christians were celebrating the birth of the sun, S-O-N, sun. He changes that to December 25th to coincide with the winter solstice. For what? Well, because it's a similar feast. It's a feast of hope. It's a feast of newness, of starting brand new, of exit darkness, enter light. Do you see how easy it is? We complicate it with too much stuff. This is basically the understanding that the early Christians had. That we will celebrate the birth of the Son, Jesus Christ. And we will celebrate that, overlapping the celebration of new light, of new warmth, of new days. Because they are similar. They are both pointing to hope in our lives, a hope for a better tomorrow. And exactly to the point too, right? What does Jesus give us? He gives us new light, new warmth, new life. That's the hope. That's the hope of tomorrow. And so when St. Paul refers to faith, hope, and love, one which we repeat often, what are the Christian virtues? Faith, hope, and love. This hope is not to be underestimated. People live with hope. They continue their lives because of hope. Hope for a better tomorrow, for a warmer tomorrow, a more lit tomorrow, whatever it may be. And that hope is only as real as the science behind it. Okay? Listen to what I'm saying here. That hope is only as real as the science behind it. What's the science behind the solstice? Well, we know that the days are getting longer. So I can celebrate today. That today is the shortest day, and from this point on, it's getting longer. What's the science behind our faith? We know with Christ. We know with Christ, things get better. You have that hope in tomorrow. You have that resurrection. We know that through the Holy Badarak, the Holy Eucharist, what comes to us? Sayagyang huis harutyun kavutyun. This is life. This is hope. And when we accept it as such, what happens? We are part of that entire formula. We have completed the entire cycle. We become part and parcel of the faith that we believe in becomes a faith that we are now living. You look at the world right now. Look at all the things that are happening, all the things that give you reasons not to hope. And they're talking about, you know, the Russians are doing this, and the United States is doing this, and North Korea is over there, and there's threats. There's nuclear annihilation is back on the table. For how many years we were talking about, well, the Cold War is over. Now the Cold War's back. We hear about more violence towards people. Unanticipated violence. You know, like if you're in a war, you anticipate the violence. This one is just like, you don't know when it's going to happen. Somebody just walks into a tunnel with a bomb on him. Somebody drives through a crowd in a car. What am I supposed to believe? What am I supposed to hope for? I mean, hope means that there's a pattern we can follow. There's no pattern. Right? With the solstice, there's a pattern. We know that the days are getting longer. I could follow that. With Lent, I know that there's an Easter at the end of it. Even with crucifixion, I know that there's a resurrection at the end of it. But right now we're just talking about hopelessness because these patterns are gone. Everything is just so temporary. Everything is so quick. Everything is without patterns. And this contributes to the general loss of hope. And as Christians, we're called. This is a calling. We're called to look at that moment of hope. That moment of hope comes to us on Christmas morning especially. Because against all the odds, against all the reasoning, God decides on that morning to start brand new with an opportunity for each of us. There's no reason for it, right? But God decides that morning, Christmas morning, to you is born a Savior. And what do they proclaim? Peace on earth, goodwill towards each other. How beautiful. The first message of Christmas is peace on earth. There's a reason that Jesus is here. It's so that you have hope. There's a reason that Jesus is born, so that you have light. There is a reason for Christmas morning, so that you feel the warmth. And there is a reason for God giving us His only begotten Son, so that you can be connected to all of eternity. It's wild when you think about it. It puts the hope into a rather hopeless situation, doesn't it? It lets you believe in tomorrow. It lets you know that today is the shortest day. Know that today is the worst. Tomorrow gets better. The day after gets even better. And the day after that even more better. This is the strength that the Christian finds. Today's the solstice of the year. It's a day of celebration. It's a day that today's the shortest. It means things get better. Today is the day of Christmas. It's a day of celebration. It's a day to know that things get better. Warmth, life, light have come into our world. It doesn't get better than that, does it? Merry Christmas. Okay, you're going to give me the time, huh? Okay. I asked for a little extra time, and they're giving it to me. Okay, so I'm back for this little extra tidbit. Let's call it a Christmas gift, okay? This is a poem I wanted to share with you. It's by Ian Anderson. I was listening to it this morning as part of a song, and just the words really caught me. It's truly the spirit of the season as we celebrate it. In His Shoes and through our ministry, and I just want to share with you. It's a poem called Jack Frost and the Hooded Crow. Through long December nights we talk in words of rain or snow, while you, through chattering teeth, reply and curse us as you go. Why not spare a thought this day for those who have no flame to warm their bones at Christmas time? Say Jack Frost and the Hooded Crow. Now as the last broad oak leaf falls, we beg, consider this. There's some who have no coin to save for turkey, wine, or gifts. No children's laughter around the fire, no family left to know, to lend a warm and a helping hand. Say Jack Frost and the Hooded Crow. As holly pricks and ivy clings, your fate is none too clear. The Lord may find you wanting, let your good fortune disappear. All homely comforts blown away, and all that's left to show, is to share your joy at Christmas time with Jack Frost and the Hooded Crow.
Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for your wonderful prayers, your thoughts, your messages that you've been sending me, especially these past few weeks. I do want to share with you something really exciting that happened. Every year we have opportunities at Christmas time to really explore the Advent season with our good works, and we've been feeding the homeless. I want to tell you that over the last few weeks, you can't imagine the number of people that have been helped through In Issues Ministry, the number of families. And we just got a word this morning. My wife Susan gave me a note that came that one of the families that we were helping has now gotten placed into some permanent housing. And that is a beautiful reflection of the goodness that we do. And so when you support In Issues, it goes out to many, many families that are in dire need of assistance. Now, but that's really a small little miracle compared to what did happen over the last few weeks, one of which I blogged about, and I'm going to continue writing in the next few days about it so you can check it out. But it's the wonder, it's the magic that happens at some of these events when people tune in, when people light up at the goodness of God, at the goodness of love, at the power of love. I shared with you a couple weeks ago about at the Children's Memorial how all of a sudden this magic happened, the magic of families coming together. Well, this week we saw another magic. Now, last year I left my parish in Glendale, and we are now working out of the diocese, and we did all of the same programs because we're focusing in issues. The one that we could not do was actually a Christmas tree, which we do every year. We remember a young girl, Yvette Hagopian, who was the victim of domestic violence, and her passing shook up our entire community. And every year we would collect toys for the children of domestic violence, the unheard of, the unspoken victims of domestic violence. And we collect toys for these kids. Now, this year was the first year that we thought we weren't going to be able to get the toys out there. We figured, you know, we'd take a couple things. But by themselves, people started calling up and saying, well, aren't you having a toy drive? What happened to the toy drive? And it got so big that we said, okay, well, we will have one. We started putting them into our cars. And anyway, long story short, we delivered them yesterday. There'll be some pictures on today's blog, if not today, tomorrow. But it was just so beautiful because these are programs that we've started and we continue with the strength and the courage that God gives us, but also with the support that people give, people bringing their goodness, people sharing their goodness with one another. So the toy drive went on without a hitch. Our feeding the homeless has now multiplied. The churches where we were are continuing to do that. And that's so beautiful. That's beautiful that these traditions are not lost with the going of a pastor, but are traditions that are firm and being held to by the communities. And of course, this is the power of God working through us. So thank you all for the wonderful support and the energy and the prayers that you give us through In His Shoes. Let me make a quick announcement. January 13 through 15, we're going to have our MLK retreat, the Martin Luther King Jr. retreat. And it happens to be the weekend, a long weekend in honor of the civil rights hero. We're going to be up in the Santa Maria area. It's like Central California. And I would tell you, if you could make it out there, do everything you can to be there. It's a family event. You can come with your family. It's a changing. It's a transforming event, an opportunity to share, to talk, to pray, to listen, to just be quiet and let your heart beat. It's up in God's beautiful country, Zaka Lake, and we're inviting you to be there with us. You can get more information on our website, inissues.org, of course, on Facebook as well. With that being said, let's put an end to it for today. Wish you a Merry Christmas, wherever you may be. Yes, we can go out with a little bit of Merry Christmas music. And wish you all the best with your families. May love, may the light of Christ guide you. May the love of Christ be the warmth that we all need in our world today. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, as well as on behalf of my family and all of our loved ones. This is Father Voskin, Susie our producer, and Ken our engineer, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And a happy new year. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas and a happy new year.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Anything else?
Jesus is the reason of the season.
Yeah, Jesus is the reason of the season?
Yeah.
That's a good quote.